Wives Tribe, what's up? I'm so glad to be with you again. You know, something recently just came up in my life with a friend of mine around self-pity. And it was really hard to be a true, honest friend and let her know, hey, at this point, you're just having a self-pity party. And it's time to dust yourself off and to stand up tall. Now, that doesn't mean that what she experienced and went through wasn't hard and tough and challenging. But what it does mean is there is a time for everything. And now the time had come where it was time for her to stand up and to trust that the Lord had already figured out the situation and had a fantastic outcome for her. And so we got talking a lot about self-pity, and it made me realize that there is a lot of self-pity in our world. There's a lot of people that are feeling really bad for themselves. And yes, that's not minimizing that some experiences and things that they go through are very, very challenging. But if we stay in that state of mind where we're wallowing in self-pity, then we will miss the promises of God. So I want to talk to you about that today. Pity means to have compassion, to feel sorrow, to feel for someone, to be concerned, to be sympathetic, you know, to put yourself in someone else's shoes, to feel with them and suffer with them. So pity is actually something good and something that God wants us to have. God wants us to suffer with another person so that we can fill their sorrow with deep concern. So I don't want you to misconstrue the message. There's definitely a time to have pity, right? So pity can be something really good. Pity is a God-given emotion. But when pity is turned towards self, then it becomes ugly and sinful and destructive. And I want to break that down a little bit, so in hopes that you'll have a deeper understanding of a pity party. There's actually a few different examples that I could pull from that are biblical, but I'm going to be talking about David. So if you know anything about David, you know that King Saul chased David like week after week, month after month. He was seeking to kill him. And David had to live the life of a fugitive. Like, I can't imagine that. Being accused of doing something that you never did, number one. And number two, running, legit running for your life. Sometimes he would have to hide in caves and other hiding places. I can't imagine how he felt just constantly living his life on the run, being fearful of his life being taken. It's one thing to be a fugitive, and it's another thing to be an innocent fugitive, right? David didn't even do anything wrong. So he wasn't guilty of any crime. You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 18. And it would have been different if David would have murdered the king's own son or stolen the king's gold. But David didn't do any of that. He was literally being chased without a cause. He was not guilty. So what did David do, right? He was chased by King Saul. He did the right thing. He trusted in the Lord and he kept his eyes on God. We learn that David's wonderful trust in God as we read the Psalms that he wrote. But there was one occasion when David did the wrong thing. He took his eyes off the Lord and he really began to feel sorry for himself. And he was all concerned about himself and his well-being. And so in that moment, he decided to have his own pity party. And he really just started refusing to believe that God, who had taken care of him in the past, would continue to take care of him in the future. So his pity party lasted a long time, and it ended up resulting in a lot of trouble for David until he finally got his eyes back on the Lord. And it really gets me thinking about my friend in this situation, because David is just like the rest of us, right? There's many times where we feel like we're on the run and we're keeping our eyes off the Lord. We're running for, you know, from ourselves most of the time. And we're feeling really bad for ourselves because we're going through a really terrible season and it feels really, really bad. And we just want to stay depressed and in a corner and stay hopeless because we've moved our eyes off of God and we've moved our eyes to ourselves. And now we start focusing on all the wrong things. We start taking God out of his rightful place and we start putting ourselves on the throne. And so we've become so consumed with our current situation that we overlook the fact that God has got us through situation after situation after situation, and that if we keep our eyes focused on him, that he will continue to bring us through it again. And so I wanted to use David in this example, and of course David did so many beautiful things right, but in this particular example, it was the best one I could think of to paint the picture of him having a pity party and how it ended up creating a lot of trouble for him. So again, pity is a God-given emotion, but when we turn pity into self-pity, then it's taking the compassion and the pity and concern and turning it the wrong way. We're turning it to ourselves. So pity should really be an outreach to reach others. Self-pity does not reach out in a healthy way. Self-pity is very destructive and it's sinful, because now we are literally carrying this idea that we are this poor victim. And it goes back to this victim mentality. And with the victim mentality, you are depressed and hopeless. Your eyes are not fixed on God. You've completely given up all hope that God is going to pull you through your circumstance. And you're just sitting alone, feeling bad for yourself. And it really makes for very, very poor company. So for those people around you that love you and want to see you come out of it, it's hard for them to be in the moment with you because you're just wallowing. And every positive thing that friends and family try to share with you, you literally block it. You have a complete wall built up and you'd rather sit in your misery. So the Bible doesn't really use the word self-pity, but it carries the same idea, the word fret. So self-pitying person is the person who frets. You'll kind of hear that obviously more often. You won't hear self-pity. But I really just wanted to talk to you about the danger of self-pity, the danger of not picking yourself up off the ground, refocusing on the Lord, remembering all the things he's brought you through, remembering his promises that his word will never return void, and pulling yourself back up. As soon as we remove God from the throne and we put ourselves on the throne is when all sorts of trouble starts to come. All hell breaks through in our lives. And we think that the current moment that we're wallowing in and feeling bad for ourselves over is bad. And then what happens is we take God off the throne and we're put ourselves there and things become even worse. And so in my situation with my friend, as hard as it was for me to say that to her, it is time to stop having a self-pity party. It is time to dust yourself off and to refocus on the Lord and to get in prayer and to get in worship and to start focusing on God getting you through this situation. And it wasn't an easy conversation. And it was, she took a lot of offense and there was anger and there was some bitterness associated with that. But I knew as a believer in Christ that I had to speak the truth. And it wasn't minimizing her experiences and the things that she's been going through. It's been an extremely tough season. And she has every reason to feel sorrowful and to feel upset and disappointed. The time had come and the time had passed. And being a good friend, being a good family member is knowing that you have been in that position with them. You have shown pity with them by showing compassion to them, being patient with them, and then understanding as that time starts to go away that a new time has come, that you need to be bold and stand up and say, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to tell you that it is time to turn from the self-pity and time to turn to God. Let's start reminiscing. Let's start talking about all the good things that God has done. Let's start talking about all the things he's done for us and all the places he's brought us out of. And start remembering with your friends and family, reminding them of all the blessings. Start getting into the word. Start reading the promises that God has made to us. Start talking about goals and the future and making sure that we're putting together practical steps, right? And looking to God to see us through all of it. having a self-pity party is destructive. It's sinful. It's dangerous. And it will not help your situation. It will hurt your situation. It will hurt your life. So for those of you who are not in that season right now, thank God, but you need to be the person that stands up to anybody in your life that may be in that type of season or mindset. Make sure that as a believer in Christ, that you are spreading the goodness of God, that you are bold and brave, that you are forthcoming with the truth, because the truth will always, always set you free. I hope this helps you. God bless.